This record is a message to young people, to people under the age of 25, and certainly to people under the age of 40. If you're over the age of 40, I'm not sure that you should listen to this record. What I'm going to say might make you mad. I don't like to get people mad. I particularly don't like to get people over the age of 40 mad, because these are the people who have guns and handcuffs and prisons, a wide variety of instruments of metal with which they punish people who get them mad. Young people, for the most part, aren't so concerned with control and power. They're much more involved in having fun, being curious, exploring their sensual equipment, making adventurous explorations, making love, trying to learn what it's all about. I have personal experience which has taught me how fierce people over 40 can be with those who challenge their beliefs. Down in Texas, there are a group of men over 40 who got so mad at what I'm saying that they sentenced me to prison for 30 years. And up here in New York State, there are another group of men over 40 who want to put me in jail for another 16 years for saying the sort of things I'm going to say on this record. I'm cutting this tape on the third floor of the Castalia Foundation in Millbrook, New York. The Castalia Foundation is a psychedelic center, a place for consciousness expansion, a spiritual retreat, a center for experimentation in the use of psychedelic or mind-opening drugs. As you would expect from a place designed to produce beautiful experiences, the Castalia Foundation is located in a beautiful spot. I can look down on acres of green lawn. Down there on the left, underneath the trees, I can see a meditation house, a one-room jewel box, where people go for a few days or a week at a time to live in silence, cut off from the pressure of the world. Turn on, tune in to their inner possibilities. Just beyond the meditation house, there's an iron gate which leads down stone stairs to a meditation garden. There's a huge maple tree, 20 feet in diameter, with ponderous, stately limbs. About 15 feet up in the tree, there's a treehouse, lashed with spider web roping. Beautiful elven girl with golden hair is living there this week. Beyond the tree, there's an apple orchard and an organic garden farther out around the house. There are meadows, sacred groves, pine forests, waterfalls, brooks. The main house itself is 4 stories. It has slanting copper roofs. At different seasons and at different times of the day and night, we lie in the green roofs and watch the sun rise or the sunset or the full moon come up over the eastern trees. There's a red chimney which runs 5 stories facing south, and on the chimney there are painted the interwoven triangles, the Seal of Solomon, the sacred symbol found over every Vishnu temple in India. This is one of the oldest symbols in human history. For thousands of years, men who have studied the expansion of consciousness and the meaning of the inner life have used this symbol to indicate the merging of opposites to make the new, the merging of man and woman, of dark and light, of electron and proton, of winter and summer. The outdoors is set up for LSD sessions because the LSD experience is too powerful, too organic, too ancient to be contained within rooms and houses made by man. There are many shrines inside the great house. In fact, almost every room in the house is designed to produce a specific turn-on. There are several rooms specifically designed for the sensory enhancement which is created by marijuana. Many of the rooms are designed for those sacred ceremonies which can only occur between man and woman, seeking to deepen and enrich their communion. And there are other rooms designed to produce the psychedelic experience by the use of light, color, and sound. I belong to an ancient trade union of spiritual teachers, scholars of consciousness, who prefer to work not in lecture halls or recording studios, but far away from cities and symbols, with small groups of people, exploring without the pressure of time and space the endless realms within. If I had my way, and when I had my way, I would invite anyone who wished to devote his time to the inner quest to join me in a center such as this. And we would learn together and experience together how to reach the 5 levels of consciousness which are available to a species like ours, with our particular repertoire of cellular and neurological equipment, I would teach you how to sleep consciously, how to use symbols consciously and aesthetically, how to enhance and intensify your senses, how to contact the ancient wisdom of your cells, and how to reach those flashing energies which exist inside your body, which men for thousands of years have called the inner light. Such a program is not an idle fantasy. In the summer of 1962 and 63, with a group of 40 Harvard graduate students and young professional people, I participated in such a training program in a small fishing village in Mexico. We had rented a hotel there, which was a mile away from town, on a dead-end road. The hotel was a series of cottages scattered along a cliff with a long, winding stone staircase leading down to the beach. A private beach which stretched a mile down the ribbon of surf and sand. Life in our center there was entirely out of doors. The air was clear and scented with a salt breeze and the perfume of flowers which grew up the cliff. People wore bathing suits and shorts and went barefoot. The food we ate came from the bay in front of us or from the fields which grew behind the hotel. Nothing came in wax containers or plastic boxes. There was no electricity. At night, from the beach, you looked up and saw a continuous dance of moving candles. There were no clocks, except that every 15 seconds, the surf broke a mile down the beach and came cannonading along the strand. The ticking of an ancient timepiece, which ourselves, have been listening to millions of years before clocks were invented.